Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, this is Katmir Stone of Freedomizer Radio. I was born and raised in the Caribbean tropical coast and enjoyed living along the Blue Ridge Mountains of Appalachia, both places where Mother Nature rules and shoes are optional. Now living in the ninth largest metropolitan area in the United States, I'm surprised that more people don't realize that their health would improve if they just took off their shoes and relaxed. Yes, even in the middle of downtown. Bunions, hammer toes, atrophied pinkies, fungus issues, weak structure, all these foot problems caused by shoes are simply due to the fact that people don't know that being barefoot is not just the natural, comfortable solution, it's legal. That's right, Freedomizers. We at barefootislegal.org host a weekly radio show where we discuss the many health benefits and zero laws concerning going barefoot. Join Nicola, Kiliki Claybaugh, Patty Peaceful, and yours truly, Katmir Stone, every Saturday starting at 10:30 a.m. Pacific, 1:30 p.m. Eastern for Barefoot is Legal Radio. Hashtag Freedomizer Radio, hashtag Shoes Ruined My Feet, hashtag Barefoot is Legal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is the Barefoot is Legal radio show, and this is Kaliki, and welcome. And it's been an adventurous few weeks. Had a few hiccups on things, but getting everything back together, and I'm trying at the moment. I'm having a bit of a hiccup as well, as far as trying to get my page to load here, so that I can get my the rest of my guests on here. So bear with me, and we will get everything kicked off. I'm gonna see about. We have a couple of really exciting guests today. I'm gonna have Red come in and discuss her story, which is actually her son's story. But it's amazing, and I think that everybody will really enjoy this story. And we also have Patty with us, as she is a return guest, and she is really excited to be on the show with us today. And Red, are you there?
I'm here, yes. Nick is here with you today.
Hey! I was having a little bit of trouble with my my dashboard here, and then I had to refresh it, and it was taking
there,
forever.
So I wasn't sure.
All right.
I'm here.
So, yay. So it sounded like I was flailing. I was. So I am super glad that that you got on here with me today, and I'm glad that I got my, because it wasn't even showing that I was on air. So I was trying to.
Yeah, it was for the last minute. We were. I was watching that, and I'm like, nothing's on there yet. No one else has signed in, so I wasn't sure if I was just plowing in or not. So.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's been fixed now, so I'm really glad about that. So how have you been? How's the world of barefoot in your region?
Hey, it's as good as it's always been. It's great. It's getting a little cold, so
yep.
You know, you tough it out at night, but still going barefoot. Of course, I haven't had anything for 15 years on my feet, plus. So.
Oh wow, that's great.
Enjoying as I always have.
Oh good, well I gotta say that When it gets a little cool, I have to wear something on my feet. Otherwise, I start turning funny colors and look like I belong to the Smurf tribe or something. So, unfortunately, I have to at some point put on something. But for the most part, it's not been cold enough for me to have to do that very often, which I'm glad
so far.
Yeah, because when it gets about 65, you know, I have to put on some things on my put some socks or something on.
Is that your cutoff, 65? I think that if you just keep your core body temperature up, and this is something for a lot of barefooters out there, just keep in mind, like, you know, your feet are not going to get that cold if you keep your core body temperature up. And just having a couple layers on, you know, on top really helps. You know, a couple layers, T-shirt, sweatshirt, jacket, that normally does the trick for me. And then I never have a problem with my feet getting cold.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great because because I know it's been a challenge for me to. But see, my body works a little bit different, and even though I try to keep my core temperature up, if it's exposed, if my feet are exposed, then they will start turning colors. But it's because of a condition. That I have. So, I'm a little different than most people. So,
and you know what? Everybody's body is different, and you can't always think that because it works for one person, it's going to work for everybody. Everybody has to be careful now. The weather's getting cold. That they watch, and don't push their limits. Don't try to do something that you're not comfortable doing. As much as everybody out there may enjoy being barefoot, but everybody does have their limits, and to push those could lead to some serious issues. And we got to make sure that not only are we promoting a barefoot lifestyle, but we're also promoting a healthy barefoot lifestyle as well.
Right, exactly. And I definitely agree with that. So, if you're not used to running around in the cold, then, you need to take it a little easy until you get used to doing that. So, if you have
to just slowly transitioning with
the weather, acclimate yourself, then that's the way to go.
Exactly. Do it in steps, acclimate yourself, try to transition with the weather. Some people have the luxury where it gradually gets a little colder, and depending on the part of the country or the world that you're listening in. Just going along with the season, if it really drops below zero suddenly, maybe that's not the time to try it. Your body will adjust to your environment, but again, be careful doing it.
Yeah, that's great. I wanted to share a little bit about when I got married. I went to the courthouse. So my wife and I, we went up to the courthouse, and we knew we were going to get married on this particular day and all, and she was telling me, bring your shoes, just bring your shoes. So I brought my shoes. I brought slippers. But I was carrying them. I was carrying them in my hand. And the officer that was at the door, he's like, put your shoes on. And I was like, wait, what? And I said, why? And he said, this floor is nasty. I was like, I'm an avid barefooter. I'm okay with the floor being dirty, And he's like, well, okay, whatever, and so I walked on in, and we get up to do all the process of getting the license and everything, and we go into the chambers, and the judge says, and he was really great, and he's like, you're only the second barefoot person I've ever married in all the years I've been doing this.
That is great.
And
that's
it was great.
Yeah, congratulations. I saw it all over Facebook, and so proud of you guys, and congratulations on that.
Thank you. It was great. We had, her mom was over there shaking her head the whole time because she was like, I can't believe you're not wearing shoes. She's the one that, you know, wouldn't go inside the restaurant and eat because she knew I wasn't going to wear shoes. So we got a table outside.
Come on, really?
So. Yeah. Oh. I was like, are you serious? I'm not going to eat with my feet, you know.
Yeah.
They're under the table. What's
yeah,
the
it's
problem?
Not like you put a condition on her saying that you're not going to eat with her unless she takes her shoes off. You know, can't we all just get along, really?
Yeah, exactly. but I wanted to welcome in Red. She's got an amazing story. So,
like she just joined us now?
Yes. Hi, Red. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. I'm so glad that you could join us today and share with us what you have going on.
Right. Well, we've talked about it a lot, you and I. So I guess for the listeners, we should start, I guess, towards the beginning. So bear with me because it takes me a minute to get to the good part that you guys are really wanting. But it goes back to about 2 years ago for me. I personally always liked being a barefoot person.
Right.
But when I found out how important that barefoot and grounding truly was when I stumbled upon my 9-year-old. He was in school at a paid Catholic school, which I had him at so that I didn't have to vaccinate him. I was bullied by the school. I was I fought them for half a year. They really, really came after me, and they finally sent my children home and said that I had 3 days to get them vaccinated or I was going to face losing them to the state and having a truancy officer fine me $350 for each day that they weren't in school per child.
Oh, my gosh.
So, of course, I was fearful, and I didn't know any better, and I took them and I got their shots done. It worked out okay for my younger child, for my eldest son, who at the time was 9. The main one that I didn't want him to have at that time was the swine flu that was going around.
Yeah.
And that was required all of a sudden for them to get. And I was very uncomfortable with this vaccine in particular because of how new it was. I watched my son in 4 weeks become a totally different child. And you have to forgive me because I get a little emotional sometimes when you talk about it. Because
yeah,
he was a perfectly healthy, perfectly normal child that gained 35 to 40 pounds within 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
That went through pain on a level in his school that they were talking about putting him in more challenging classes because he was too smart. Do now all of a sudden they're calling me and telling me that he's throwing tantrums at school and his grades are dropping and he's eating pencils and he's chewing on erasers and he's disruptive and he needs to go see the doctor and the doctor sends me to therapists and therapists send me to other people and then they finally take me to a room and they try to tell me that my 9-year-old son now is possibly autistic or has Asperger's.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
That's sad.
They tell me that they want to do more testing and diagnose him and put him on pills, and I was in tears, and I walked out of the room, and I grabbed my son, and I left. Because my viewpoint was, whatever is wrong with my son right now, you did it.
Of course.
And I'm not trusting you to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can't trust them, especially if, you know, they led you into this situation from what it sounds like to begin with. Have
yeah.
you with the doctors, has any of the mental health experts that looked at him said, you know, since he was normal or, you know, did not have this condition before, have they been able to document that maybe one of these vaccines or anything have caused it?
No, they want to continually tell me. I was in a neighbor with them. This was an ongoing battle. There's no relation. Even though autism usually shows up by the age of 2 at the absolute latest.
Yeah.
And my son, there was nothing wrong with until all of a sudden 9 years old, 4 weeks later after the vaccination, and they want to say, oh, no, it's completely unrelated.
Wow.
They want to tell me that it was something possibly in his environment. But my other son's fine.
That the environment made him, like environment, like global warming did this? I mean, that doesn't sound right at all.
Right. Yeah, definitely not.
Like something, like they think something, you know, God, it's something in his environment. That's how they wanted to explain it to me. And again, if you can't even, you don't even want to admit what gave him this. But yet you want me to trust you to fix it?
Yeah, you can at that point.
Yeah. And there's, but you have discovered that there is something that helps him.
Now, there have been a lot of things that we have done to holistically try to reverse what they have done. You know, my son, I'm just trying to undo what they did.
Right.
Now, one of those things was we moved, obviously, as far away from these quack pots as I could possibly get to a place that I knew that I could live pretty free, which is Colorado. And right. I am now doing a homesteading, off-gridding type of a lifestyle. My son has decided that his shoes not being on his feet make him feel more grounded. He is able to control his temper better, which is one of his major problems now all of a sudden. And like I said, we never experienced this with him before, but he has temper issues now. The smallest of things will make him throw a fit. Since I have allowed him the barefooting privilege of the last 7 months, and I don't make him put his shoes on for any reason, I let it be his decision when he thinks he needs to wear them or when he doesn't. I'm doing this for a lot of reasons, but A is because I do see a major difference, and he's able to control his anger better. He's able to communicate better. He is able to function in a more compatible way. He's very clumsy when he has his shoes on. And he's very non-sociable when he wears shoes. It's almost like wearing shoes for him, even though it makes him the oddball to people. It gives people something else to focus on other than him just maybe not being the same as them. And it starts a conversation for him with people. And
so
that's
he figured
important.
Out himself that barefooting was a way for him to ground himself. He figured that out himself?
It was kind of a mixture. Now, I do a lot of holistic things. Reiki is one of those things. Grounding is one of the major things in Reiki. So I was actually attuning him to level 1. Reiki, and I had taught him grounding, to take his shoes off and go and stand outside, to put his arms out with his palms up and receiving, cast his head back, and allow the sun to shine directly onto his third chakra, or what we call the third eye, or the moon, whichever it is, and ground himself. When he began doing that is when he realized he didn't want shoes.
That's pretty amazing.
A huge difference, and it's made a huge difference for him. You know, and even though people do start conversations with him about it, like, oh, you should be wearing shoes, he almost kind of, like, gets excited, like, well, it's okay to not wear shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll be like, oh, you're going to hurt your feet. He's like, you don't understand. My feet are tough. He's like, I step on cactus, and I just hop over and pull that out and keep on going.
Right.
You know, he's like, it doesn't hurt me, you know, and now it's been 6 months, so he's not nearly as tender-footed as he started.
Mm-hmm.
And he's toughened his feet up pretty quickly. I mean, you know, I mean, a kid, I have to argue with him. There are certain things that I think, as a mother, he needs to wear shoes for. Bike riding is one of those things. At least something. So that he's
right.
not just sweating and his feet are slipping off of the pedals. He needs something that has something that can grip a little bit. And this is an ongoing argument with me because he does not want to wear shoes for any purpose. He doesn't care what it is. And, you know, whether it's bike riding, whether it's going to the store, whether it's anything, it blocks him in some manner. And he doesn't like that.
What is your resistance to him not... I'm sorry, what is your resistance to him not wearing shoes? Like, any reason, if it's helping him, is it something that maybe the two of you can work together to help him understand why you need him in shoes at a certain point, or maybe he's able to communicate as to why it's better for him not to?
Right, and we're working on that. We definitely have been working on that. With the bike riding, it's just where we live now currently, it's all, there's no, like, he's not riding on smooth surfaces, so it's very bumpy all the time. You can really get injured with your feet being bare, moving that fast on something. And I'm worried about his feet getting caught in the chains. That happened to me when I was a kid riding barefoot. I have a huge scar on my ankle. And, you know, I don't want to see that happen to him. So I try to tell him these things, and he understands it, but it's this, for him, it's more of a laziness with the bike riding, because once he gets off the bike, because he wants to ride the bike where he's going, which is usually a socialization of some sort, a friend's house or to go see somebody or whatnot. So when he gets there, then he wants to be barefoot. Because he doesn't feel that he socializes the same with shoes on as he does without shoes. So it's a laziness. He doesn't want to take his shoes off and put them back on.
Right.
Or be responsible for where we left our shoes.
Right.
When we took them off. And, you know, those are typical 11-year-old things, which are breakthroughs now. Because I was missing these things before. With you know, communication has been a big thing. There's a lot of times that you talk to him that you just feel like he's not even there. He's not even listening to you. And that's very hard for me because, you know, he was not this way until the last 2 years. And, I mean, he got very bad until more recently within the last, probably 8 months is when I've seen the biggest breakthrough with him, which has been remarkably around about the same time that we've started the grounding, earthing, barefooting with him and really letting him take charge
of it.
I was very happy to find barefoot is legal because he had been pushing for this barefoot thing. And of course, I live in a world of fear. Every parent does. And if you think that you don't, you're lying to yourself, because when you make these choices for your children, such as I want my child to go barefoot because it is big signs that it's helping him, you now face a lot of retribution from other people, especially government facility type people and state facility people, because they really, really, really believe, it's very drilled into their minds, that going barefoot is a danger, an endangerment to the child. It's neglect to the child. It's not in the best interest of the child. It's not, it's endangering the welfare of the child. I have had a lot of these things brought up about not letting him wear shoes when I was still living in the societal world. And this simply is not true.
There's been so many myths dispelled out there that people look at it like it's not right or it could be dangerous. And it's when it comes to the law, I'm sending over some documents to Dave to post on the Bill BIL Barefoot is Legal Facebook page just now as you were talking, to show like that. These are places, like when you mentioned government buildings and you mentioned stores, these are places of public accommodation. They're open to the public. If not owned by the public or the government that we run, then it's, a business that is a place of public accommodation. And there are laws, especially in your case, that will protect his right to be in those establishments barefoot. It seems like he has a genuine medical condition, and there's proof that has helped him remarkably. And I just sent those documents over to Dave. So hopefully if you check out our Facebook page, and that goes for all the listeners out there, check out that Facebook page for those documents. It's public accommodation laws. And I sent over a condensed version in PDF format because it is pretty long. It's from the Department of Justice, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and all that. But I broke it. I content in there to focus in on the important parts, such as what places are defined in that. What businesses are you protected in as a barefooter? And what rights you have in recourse if you are discriminated against? So I hope that helps you out.
Oh, yes. I will definitely look into that. I'm on the website. So when it goes up, I'll definitely be looking. And I appreciate it. I appreciate any type of advice that anybody has. You know, I highly appreciate it. And it's for my son, this has been a really, really wonderful opening experience. And yet at the same time, it's been very hard road for me. And that's
sure.
So wrong.
I'm sure it sounds it.
It shouldn't be that way. You know, we shouldn't be made to feel like criminals for making a health choice for our children. We as their parent, whether you're their mother or their father, that's our job. And now I feel as though we're limited and punished for making those choices.
Yeah.
Such as going barefoot or not vaccinating or, allowing them more freedoms into the world in general. We've made our children, and I've noticed this too with him going barefoot, he's so much more adventurous. You know, he went from a child that sat in the house and didn't really ever want to go out to, now, okay, sure, he's barefoot, but he walks like 6 miles a day now.
Wow. I'm sure his feet are tough. I think it's wonderful that you're allowing him the chance to make these decisions for himself as far as when he can wear shoes, as far as when it's more beneficial for him to wear shoes and when it's not. That's, really progressive on your part, because you know that it's helping him to be the best him that he can be.
Exactly. And see, and that's what's important, because I watched my little boy that loved himself so much just change and suddenly become this little boy that hated everything about himself. And it was so fast. It was so fast. It was so quick. It was like almost overnight. And, his self-esteem went down. Everything went down. And it was just, and then for these doctors to look at me and tell me, oh, it's completely unrelated. I am his mother. you know.
Yeah. And you've known him for 9 years before that. You know him best. You know what's normal, what's not, when he's feeling right, when he's not. And for them to say that this could be unrelated when you can see it for yourself as the mother that's lived with the child all your life and brought him up, for them to have the nerve to say that is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, exactly. Because they no longer treat these children as children. They're not individual any longer. They, when they say something like your child has Asperger's or your child has, you know, autism, there's no even feeling there. They don't have like any like, I'm really sorry or I feel bad about saying this to you. It's completely this just like you're talking to a robot. And then it's not like your particular son has, no, it's just, oh, okay, so for autism, we usually do this therapy and this therapy and that therapy. Well, what if my son isn't like the last kid that you gave these things to or the one before that? Because he's not. He's my son. There's only one of him.
Yeah. That's right. And if one course of treatment's not working and you know that another one is effective, you want to pursue the one that's more effective and not keep trying a failed method that some other doctor thinks is the solution when it's not.
Correct.
Right.
Absolutely correct. Now, I have been able, since we moved, to personally myself go more barefoot than I had ravened in the past. You know, I kicked off my shoes and walked around Walmart barefoot with my son so that he didn't feel embarrassed.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I have gotten that opportunity to do it a little bit more carefree. And I will say that personally, I have been working on myself in a lot of ways holistically because they diagnosed me with some things and then basically told me, I got diagnosed far too late and there was nothing they could do and it was, you know, radioactive pills, surgery, or die. And
wow.
I didn't accept their terms and I created my own. And here I am now 4 years later on none of their medications and I'm still alive, I will point out. All holistic treatments that I have undertaken. And pretty much I will not say that I have cured myself, but I have shown way better results than the medical world ever could on me. And I've done it in 2.5 years of walking away from allopathic everything.
That's awesome.
I've been a 4-year process of telling them to take a hike and become more and more holistic. But I finally went off of everything. All of their pills. I kept the one, which was a particular thyroid pill that I was very particularly drilled into my mind that if I didn't take this pill, I was absolutely going to die. And one day I finally just said, you know what, this pill's what's keeping me sick. And I stopped it.
Yeah.
And I got screamed and yelled at by the doctor, and I went through a lot of things. But I have also been able to admit going barefoot has been part of, I think, my recovery as well, because my health is far better here. And since I've been able to accommodate barefooting a little bit more, I have noticed the rest of the changes that I have been looking for in my goal of correcting myself.
Well, that's great.
And that's just another great success story as far as barefooting and all that. And we're coming up to the top of the hour. If we need to take a break, we can do that. We'd love to hear more about your story. And if anybody out there wants to call in, our call-in number is 319-527-6208. If anybody wants to join us out there.
Yes, absolutely. And we will be back, Red, in just a couple of minutes. And we will talk some more about it then.
Okay.
Please stay with us.
I'm not going anywhere.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk. That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
And we are back with Red, and she's sharing a great story about a healthy recovering solution for some major medical and health issues going on. And it's not just benefiting your child, but it's also benefiting you. And before the break, we want to told our audience that you'd tell us a little bit about that. And if anybody wants to call us and join the program, it's 319-527-6208. And Red, please tell us about how being barefoot has been benefiting you as well.
Well, you know, like we had covered before, you know, we had gone through a massive bunch of I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune disorder, and thyroiditis. Now, most people are hyper or hypo. I do not range in that, and because of the other that goes on with me, they could test me today, I could be hyper. They could test me a week later, I could be hyper.
Oh, wow.
Which makes trying to do any type of medication very difficult.
Right.
I also had what they considered a goiter. A goiter basically is just that the gland or the thyroid itself is so extremely swollen. I was actually told that they did not know how I was even still alive because they didn't know how it hadn't already exploded and killed me. So I let go of all of the allopathic things and I started doing the more natural things. Grounding is one of those things. Now, that's where I really found out the barefooting thing. You know, grounding for me is a little different than just walking around barefoot. Because, you know, like I said, I have a particular way of doing that, which I had described earlier with my son, of going out standing barefoot, arms out, palms up, receiving, head cast back, and allowing the sun and moon to just charge into that third eye. But now I've been more adventurous with not wearing shoes. And I can say that in becoming more adventurous and not wearing shoes, me personally, I do tend to wear shoes off of my own property. But that's a personal choice of my own most of the time. Now, I will kick my shoes off if my son feels uncomfortable, and I will go barefoot with him. To make him feel more comfortable.
That's great. And to kind of support him. You know, it's very supportive of you.
Well, the swelling in my quote-unquote goiter, I have lost 2 inches of my neck. 2 inches.
Oh.
Of my neck is gone.
That's a lot.
It is. It's a huge amount. My thyroid is almost back to its normal size. Now, I'm not attributing all of that 100% to being barefoot. However, that is part of it, that grounding and being able to walk around and being able to connect with the vibrations of the earth and the dirt and the things around me. We soak up a lot of things from the bottoms of our feet. So logically thinking, minerals, vitamins, things of this nature are one of these things that would be easily soaked up through the bottoms of our feet. Walking in dirt, as many people want to say, oh my gosh, there's so many germs in there. Oh my gosh, I look at dirt and I think there are so many great enzymes in there. There are so many minerals in there. There are so many good things in there that I don't have really any other way to get into my body. But by walking on them, we get these things.
Yeah, yeah. And the chakra work that you're doing definitely opens up that path, and especially what you're talking about, work with the third chakra. All that and just allowing that energy to flow through. You have a great combination treatments and work that you're doing there.
Absolutely. Well, that links back to when they diagnosed me with being with all of the things that I had, and basically tried to give me radioactive pills, surgery, or God. I said, no, that's not going to work for me. And I went, and I didn't just go and research a lot of things. I went and actually took classes and got certification in a lot of things. So I am very open, and the chakras and energy work are very important because of the fact that it all connects, and your feet are your base. This is where you draw the majority of your energy in. And it's very important that you keep those energies flowing throughout your body, your entire body. Is an electrical system, and you're connecting directly to the Earth's electrical grid. When you're not wearing shoes, you know, when you're wearing shoes, you have with anything else that has rubber on the bottom of it, you're going to lose that electrical connection, that energy. So removing those shoes and being able to stand on the Earth itself, really, truly open up and say, you know, today is the day that I want to feel better. Today is the day that I'm going to feel better. And today is the day that, you know, I'm going to make a difference for myself. Today is the day that I'm going to see a difference in my son. You know, that positive affirmations while you're doing these things is also very, very important. And grounding will help you rewire your brain.
True. And for those listeners that don't know what the chakras are, I just wanted to explain. Our guest, Red, has been doing a lot of chakra work. It's pretty much there's seven chakras in the body that align the energy through the spiritual, core of the body. So starting with your root chakras, such as your feet, being barefoot and grounding with the earth and drawing on that energy, opening up those other chakras and Red, what you're doing, there are different points in the body. I mean, we're talking about the root chakra, which has to do with being barefoot and grounding with that earth. And you're working on your throat chakra, the fifth chakra. And that's really almost what you're talking about, the emotional issues that are solved by opening up that throat chakra or working with that chakra is communication, self-expression of feeling, and the truth. And when you study the metaphysical end and the chakra end, you're doing exactly that. Right now, you're out there communicating and expressing your feelings and trying to relay the truth out there. So just you working on your throat chakra alone is helping your thyroid issues. But it's also really helping your son and being able to get out there in the community and communicate with what happened, and even being on the show today. You know, you're doing amazing work with that. But our listeners, chakras, it's just it's more so an Indian, pretty much it's an Indian ritual that each centers of centers of a spiritual power in the human body. And, working the root chakra all the way up to your crown chakra to open up to, enlightenment, as the original work was always done for. And Red, you're finding amazing, ways of using these methods and these ancient traditions to apply that to both healing for you and your child. That's amazing.
And again, it goes, the chakras. You have your crown chakra, and then you have your third eye chakra, and then you have your throat chakra, and then you have your heart chakra, and then you have the sacral and your base. These all work in alignment, getting them to align up. And there's different energies that you can do that with. There's universal life force energy. There's Kundalini energy. There's tons and tons of different ones. They all can work together. I'm improving this now as I am a Reiki master teacher in Crystal Reiki, Yasumi Reiki, Kundalini Reiki, DNA Reiki, Past Life Reiki, Reiki, and Diamond Reiki. These all can link together in different manners, and they all work on these points within the body. And the next best thing about that is it's not just energy. These same points that we're opening and working on, they use in reflexology, acupressure, and acupuncture. They run right along your meridian line. These meridian lines are vital within Chinese medicines, all of them, no matter which one that you're looking at. And if you really look at our medicine world, taking these medicines are so far above where we are. It's incredible. You know, you didn't look over there and see them suffering from all the same things that we are. And there's a reason for that. Because we believe that they're behind in medicine. They see us as being too far forward and giving away too much of the natural things. And I think a lot of our health in general is getting back to the simple. You know, we think that these pills are going to cure us because the doctor said so, and okay, but pills man-made. You know, you have a headache, I'm sorry. You know, instead of writing her a prescription, why didn't you just tell her to take a walk outside, drink some water, and eat some almonds?
Yeah. And even in the case, like with your child that you're talking about, you do all this amazing work, and you're so involved with the chakra and all that work, you know, really blocked energy. You know, anytime there's an energy block between those chakras, it often leads to illness or some type of condition. Are you doing any of the work with your son on that?
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely. And it's so great that you understand how important that is, and you're really submerged in that. There's another member of our Bill community who's been holding on the line now. I think they have something that they want to add to this discussion. Nicole? Is Nicole there with us now? If you want, we can take a call from Nicole.
You have me, if that helps.
Hello, Nicole. We have Dave. Dave, you're not Nicole, but come on in, join us.
I don't know where she went, but
I was like, "Gee, Nicole, your voice got really low." But we have Dave. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I'm known as Proof in these parts of the world, but I'm here.
The Professor Proof. Proof. That's the name.
Yeah. Well, I'm the CEO of Freedomizer, so people generally know me here,
I guess. That is true. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm the big loudmouth in the BIL group. I'm the one that forced all those people to leave, I guess, this week.
Yeah, you're always stirring up trouble. But you know what? I haven't been on the group for a week. I've just been going through so much stuff on my own. But when I checked back in, I saw all kinds of new members, as well as some faces that I haven't seen post in a while. So there are some people, I guess, that are going to be missed, but it looks like we did good. I see a lot of new faces in there.
Well, I do my activism every week, and I try to encourage people to help us with our social media. And as with everything else in the United States right now, people are more butthurt, I guess, for lack of a better term, about who won the presidential election. And because some members are also friends on my Facebook, that they decided to check out of our group as well, strictly because of who I voted for this week, which who I voted for and how we run the Barefoot is Legal group are two totally separate entities. And I apologize for those who don't see it as such.
No. Well, you know, I mean, it's two different things. I mean, our political views and who we vote for don't really affect the cause and our activism. It's really no matter who's in office, we want to encourage them to work on our behalf, no matter who won. Mm-hmm. So whether we have a Trump White House or a Clinton White House, we would still want to press on them to stand up for our rights, regardless of who won. So
our
agenda is still the same. It's just a matter of using another office to achieve that.
Yeah, whoever's running the United States has no bearing on us as a nonprofit. We're still going straight ahead, and I don't care if it's someone from Jupiter that decided to be the president in the United States. It doesn't matter who the president is if we're still getting tapped on the shoulder and saying we need to put our groceries back and they're going to take our card away.
Exactly.
Listen, to me, it came down to things like forced vaccinations. It came down to things like, you know, there's a lot of people out here that don't think that these things are happening. You know, I hear it over and over all the time. Oh, they can't make you do anything. Well, you know what? They made me do it. They made me do this to myself.
Yeah.
I knew better. I fought it for 9 months. There was something inside of me, or for, you know, half a year. There was something inside of me that said, do not do this. But I was so afraid that they were going to take my children away from me for doing what I thought was best for them, that I went against that. And for anybody
yeah.
out there listening, that is bullying. And that is, you know, I was very bullied into doing that. And I didn't know enough then to know that, you know, I really, really shouldn't do this. You know, I didn't really start researching into the dangers of vaccinations until I started seeing the changes in my son. And there's so many people out there that just think that these things aren't happening. And they're out there. They're happening. They're happening to the average, everyday person. That's why you don't know about it. Because we're not on the news. We're not in the paper. We're just trying to save our children and living with what has
yeah,
been done.
Yeah, and be able to have your own right to make your own decisions for what you feel is healthier and best for your child and yourself.
Correct. And
yeah.
you know, it was beginning to become to a point where just to be healthy, I was a criminal. Just to make my son healthy, I was a criminal. And
yeah.
that's
and,
not
and
right.
that needs to stop. And we need to, we you know, and hopefully this movement will help gain some traction to really make sure that, you know, we keep pressing the officials that make people, you know, do these things to stop making them do these things. And that's something that Bill can really help with as far as gaining, you know, traction and being, you know, the activist end is, you know, as far as being able to go barefoot in public.
Yeah.
So.
And it seems so simple, right? Doesn't it seem so simple? Like, it just seems so simple. Like, my feet, my choice. You know, but it's
right.
not that simple. You know, it's simply just not. Like, do you know how many other parents I have to educate when I go out with my son
yeah.
somewhere in public?
Yeah.
You know, how many
there's a lot of people that just because of exactly, and it's all ignorance. It's fear. Fear motivates most of this, and.
Yeah.
You know, if people weren't so afraid or phobic of, you know, lack of vaccinations or, you know, people with bare feet, then half these problems would be gone. And I think just what you're doing, educating and
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, what even what we're doing with the barefoot is legal. We need to keep educating people. So it deteriorates. It tears down some of those fears when they realize that they're not going to catch a plague because they're eating next to someone in a restaurant barefoot, and that, you know, your child is much better off. It's apparently proven to be much better off apparently than, you know, they were before they had the vaccines, and how this affected them
in
such a way that.
If I can jump in when you get done, I'll sorry to throw a roadblock there. Go ahead and finish, and I was going to share.
Oh, no, Dave, please share. Please share.
All right, two things. One, we have a guest named or a caller named Patty that wants to join us. Kaliki invited her. And before I go to that, I wanted to get your opinion here, Nick, because I don't know if we shared this or not, because I know I think a couple weeks ago we talked for a few minutes on the show, and I set the goal for 2017 for membership at 25,000. Am I out of line? Is that realistic?
I should hope we should have 25,000, I'm thinking. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I think with the momentum, the traction that we're gaining,
I think after Thanksgiving, things will be normal again. But my way of thinking there was if everybody told three people, that three people in a year should not be unreasonable. And we've had a few people leave for various reasons, and I'll go ahead and share just because I guess I feel I'm obligated. But I mentioned the fact of saying that I want to make sure everybody knows that we are an activism group and not just about sharing pictures and not doing anything. And I strive to have a group where if you're brand new, that's cool. I want you to see everything we have going on before you make a commitment. But once you're there 6 months, 12 months, whatever, and you enjoy the group, activism is really low on a level one scale. It's simply sharing memes on our Facebooks. You're going to share memes and pictures anyway. Why not share one of ours? Or trying to engage people in a conversation. And I have what's called the conversation starter, where I've helped people with a simple cut and paste that I have. And you can tailor it any way you want. It's just designed to get people to discuss. So once they say that they're one of us, then you give them the link to our Facebook group. And then you have people in there, oh, I would never dream about telling somebody about this group. That's activism, and I'm not doing that. And if you've been there 9-10 months and you refuse to tell a soul about the group, I'm not going to tell people to leave. But at the same time, it's an activist group, and why wouldn't you like our group so much that you can't tell somebody?
Exactly. And it's clear that we're an activist group. So they know what they're getting into in the beginning. So how come they're discouraged or they don't like it after seeing it for a while? I mean, it's quite clear that we're an activist group. And maybe it's just a matter of putting it out there more that we are an activist group. And this is not a place just to, showcase your feet and toenails. Dave, I think you're making it quite clear that it's an activist group. I think that maybe people are leaving because they just don't realize it at first. But time will tell. And I think 25,000 is a great goal. I think it's very achievable with the members that we have to bring people in. And I think by the end of the year, maybe within a year, 25,000 is reachable. And if anybody else is out there, we have about 25 minutes left of the show, 319-527-6208. And we have Nicole with us. Nicole is back.
Hey, Nick, can you bring Patty in? Because she was a scheduled guest.
And Patty? Oh, yes, of course. We can bring Patty in. I got some wrong information on my screen here, so I was bringing Nicole in. But, yeah, if Patty's here, Patty, welcome to the show. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal.
Hi, Patty. Where is she? Oh, it's her mic. There we go.
Okay.
Am I there? Can you hear me?
Hello,
hi, Patty.
We can hear you. Welcome
yes,
to the Barefoot.
Hi. Hi.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm on one of those old type phones, the cordless, so I'm hoping I'm coming in loud and clear and not, scattered.
You sound good
so
far.
Okay,
yeah,
well, okay, well, I've been pretty much, I got into this through an organization called, it's actually a thing called Oracle of the Enlightenment by Sal Monaco. I've been involved with that for several months. He has a radio show once a month. And then I was a guest call-in on Kaliki's show. And after that, I was hooked. I'm on Barefoot is Legal. I just got into Freedomizer. I've just shared Barefoot is Legal. And right now I'm barefoot. Okay. And I'm in the north, so it's kind of cool. But there's no snow on the ground, so I'm not going to have blue feet unless they're still warm enough to go barefoot.
So can I just say one more thing here regarding what people think is scary about activism? One thing I try to share at the very least with level one activism is you take some of your favorite interests. I'm in a group for people that drink tea. I'm in a group that likes to listen to old Top 40 Casey Kasem episodes. And what I try to do is just grab people from everywhere, and I specifically make sure that I'm not in any groups that are about barefooting because I don't want to preach to the choir. I want to find brand new people to read everything I have on my Facebook wall, and every day I add 2 to 5 new friends. And once a month I will post something about it starts a conversation. It's simply, for those that don't know me, I can't stand wearing shoes, and I think it's silly that everybody thinks it's crazy to not wear them, and if it's more socially acceptable, would you do it more? And then you get people that come out of the woodwork that you've never talked to that say, hey, I thought I was the only one that felt like that. And then when they say that, then you come in and say, well, there's a Facebook group for us, and you give them the link, and they're a member, and it took less than 2 minutes. And it's like, no effort, you're talking anyway on SpyBook.
Oh. Well, hello. I have mentioned it. I'm starting to actually be more open with it, saying that, you know, when people look at me saying, well, you don't have your shoes on. Yeah, you noticed. Sorry, I didn't paint my toenails today. Too bad. But I don't really get a lot of look. I have gotten a couple stares, you know, when I'm holding my shoes because I left a place that had to have shoes on, and I'm walking barefoot, and I get looks of, oh, my God. Look at her feet, and they're looking at me around like I'm, but they don't say anything, and I think they realize, well, you know, I'm at peace. You can wear your shoes. I do not, but if somebody asks me a thing, well, I'm grounding. That was mentioned by the guest, grounding, which is very important, and people really don't, with the conversation I was listening to, that actually is very true. I can't believe I'm actually part of this because this is something that's very important to me, but when you stand outside, especially in a grass or a puddle or water, you actually can feel something you don't feel when you wear shoes. And I've noticed that when you are barefoot, you're more aware. You're more aware in the present because you have to be aware of what you're walking in. When you're in shoes, you can walk anywhere. When you're barefoot, you got to be more in the moment, and I find that to be more important too. So, but I don't get as much negative feedback as I thought I would. So I'm very happy about that, but I am sharing it, and I'm going to be more open with it. And if people want to think that this is nuts, well, then I'll be nuts. But I'll be a more grounded nuts than most.
Exactly.
and like I said, in your chakras, I really would like to hear more about that because I am very. I wish I could have catch more of the conversation, but I'm very interested in what you're saying.
I'm still here, Patty. Actually going to be doing my own talk show Mondays at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard or 9 Central, and it's going to be Journey into Freedom. We're going to do a lot of talking about the chakras and the energy work and all of that on my talk show. But if you have any questions, I'm still here.
Yes, I definitely would like to hear about that because you hear a lot about that, but I'm now starting to ask about it instead of just listen. But right now I'm barefoot. I plan on going outside. I'm going to go feed my birds. I'm going to do all those things, and you can look at me if you want to, but that's okay because I like where I am, and I like listening to shows like this. Yes.
How's it been barefooting in New York at this point in time? How's the weather, the temperatures there?
Well, it's about 53 degrees right now. It's not exactly like it should be cold. I mean, it probably should be colder. But I look at it now, the sun is out. It is shining. I could walk outside. The ground still feels reasonably warm. You're going to end up probably a long-sleeve shirt on or something like that. But, I mean, it's not – remember, this is my first official coming out, I should say. This sounds really bad. As somebody who is more willing to share in barefoot than before being the, oh, okay, I'm just going to run to the car. Well, you're not wearing your shoes. Yeah, but I'm just going to the car. Now it's like, I'm going to the car. Don't worry about my shoes. So I'm going to find out what the weather's really going to be like, but I really start getting out there. But
that's all. There you go.
And
it's an adventure for you, just starting out.
Pardon me?
Are you, no, Patty, are you in the city? Are you in New York City, or are you in New York State?
I am in Western New York. I am in Western New York. I'm the one that gets that wonderful lake effect snow that basically covers us, and then we don't thaw out until probably like April or May. So, yeah, we have two seasons,
yeah.
Summer and winter. Right now it's that still that late summer, but I've always lived in a northern climate, so winters, being barefoot, running in through the grass with no shoes on, that's normal for me. Or if I don't wear shoes, I will wear socks. I go through pairs of socks a lot. So either
me
socks or shoes. Shoes, I have maybe three pairs. That's it. What I wear to work, what I wear when I have to wear shoes outside, and winter boots. Other than that, socks or bare feet. That's my footwear. And
do you see yourself transitioning away from the boots anytime soon, or do you think you can brave it this winter?
Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give it a go. I'm going to try as best I can. I'm going to see how far I can go. I would like to find some, if I have to wear covering, because we do get not inches, but feet of snow. I would like something that I can protect me from something, but I'm still looking at options because I don't want to use anything with animal stuff in them because I'm very sensitive to that. But I'm going to go ahead and just keep risking it as much as I can. Like, I'm not going to put on shoes right now. I'm just going to go walk outside and do what I need to do, or socks. But I don't think I'm afraid to try it and see what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I mean, what's worse than that? Might be getting cold.
Good to hear.
So, but I'm enjoying this.
And
so
what
really
you're going to find out is venturing out into the winter barefoot. I have a friend of mine up in Oneonta, New York, that I visit once in a while, and the weathers get pretty bad, and I've been barefoot 15 years plus now, and I found that in the winter all the snow is different, and it all depends on the snow too. Sometimes how long you can actually stay out there for when you're barefoot, and I'm sure you're going to start noticing that as well.
Well, the wet,
so don't be afraid to keep trying it and give it a shot.
Well, the wet, fluffy stuff is not as bad as that cold, wet, icy stuff that can kind of offset you. But maybe we'll be blessed and not have that horrific snowstorm like we had a couple years ago. But whatever the case may be is, whenever I don't have to have shoes on, I'm not having shoes on. Plain and simple is, I think I'm going to embrace this more and bring back sort of like my childhood back again. I drive barefoot. Since I leave for work, the shoes come off. When I'm driving, when I'm walking, before I go anywhere, my shoes are in my hand. If I have to have them, I'm holding them. It's an odd sight, but I don't care. It's all about what my body's feeling at that time. And I appreciate it.
Yep. And in the winter, for all the barefooters out there, this is when you want to start thinking about that remote start for your car if you're trying your first winter.
Yes.
So I know mine has helped quite a bit. Remote start with the heat on before you leave the car the day before, and it's nice and warm when you get out there through the snow and the cold weather, to just jump in a car and a dry towel that I always keep on the floor of the front seat too, also helps if anybody needs that advice and you're trying the winter for the first time. A couple things that may make it a little easier on you, and maybe this is something we could post on the website too, maybe the first winter survival guide for the winter. And we also have, I believe, Nicole with us that wanted to chime in on this topic as well. And she's also doing a show that she's going to share a little bit with us about. So if we want, we can bring Nicole in. Welcome to the Barefoot is Legal, Nicole.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good.
Can you guys...
How's it going?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I want to just put out a huge, absolute thank you for you stepping up and stepping in when the host here on BIL can't. We've had a lot of life experiences going on, and the show had a little bit of a hiccup there, but everybody is coming together, and I think it's so great because I've been involved with BIL for a really long time, and I think it's just so wonderful that we can all come together. And are just amazing.
Kind of last minute. And
can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It was very last minute when I saw what was going on. I figured, let me see if there's something I can do. So I'm kind of like the paper ballot. I'm the provisionary host.
Well, you know what? For our listeners, by the way, which we didn't really even talk about today, you are doing a huge documentary for Barefoot and Barefoot people in our community and our movement and everything else. And you didn't plug it at all as I was listening, trying to get in there. We had fabulous guests. Oh, my, Red, amazing.
Yeah.
Patty, amazing. And Nick, our person here that is just shining, is doing BarefootTV.com, correct? It's a documentary. And
yeah,
I want to say,
I
have to take a big step back, and I apologize for that because I miss my peeps, you know, like Katmer and everybody else, Patty, that couldn't be involved. But I really love to see everybody still coming together and putting and participating in any way that they can on our movement, on our Facebook page. The only thing that's been bothering me over the past, you know, week, as long as everybody else can agree with me, we're all torn up from the floor up about the political stuff and this, that, and the other. And Red was just so wonderful of the guest and other people that can come on. Our show is really about communicating, you know, our freedom. And a lot of us feel like our freedom has been lost. I have, you know, what's been happening and us living the way that we live our lifestyle. That's what this show is about. That's what our Facebook is about. BarefootIsLegal.org is about. Where we're going to a store or where we live or whoever we are. That's what this show is about. And I really just want to praise you, Nick, for just stepping up to the plate. Like every time, you just do. And I think it's amazing, and I thank you. And I praise you. And Kaliki,
I love
you, sister. Kaliki and I do a show. You know, we're Freedomizers here. We're Freedomizer Radio. And we do a Sunday show, which we had to take a back seat to a little bit, too, because we had a little bit of life going on. But we do Freedomizer Sustainable Living on Sundays, same time as today, 10:30 Pacific, and 1:30 Eastern? Jeez, I'm on the West Coast now. But we have a lot of Red was even talking about, sustainable living, you know, and our crystals and our things and what's going on right now. Everybody has to just focus on being okay right now. Because we have so much crazy going on. But I'm so proud to be a part of anything Freedomizer related or the BIL, because it's been a very big passion for me for years. Proof, you know, I'm friends with him and he gave me the opportunity to be involved in any way that I can, and I want to express my appreciation for anybody that listens and our listeners and getting involved and calling in and anything you have to say, or if you want to be a guest, please PM one of us. Let us know your passion on our Facebook page. Reach out. It doesn't matter who's an admin or not. The people that are paying attention will get it to the appropriate person, and we will get you on here to tell your story, to make it heard, make it known, and to be heard. So thank you guys for letting me
That's a very good point to make. Yeah, definitely.
And Nick, you're just, thank you.
It was great
having you. You're always such a, like, you skate in and you're awesome. It's awesome.
I come plowing in my studio here, and I fire up the equipment, and I just steamroll in. That's just...
Well, I'm going to plug you again. By the way, everybody, it is barefoottv.com. Nick,
it's barefoottvshow.com.
Our famous Nick here is doing it. What is it? Did I get it wrong?
Yeah,
barefoot
TV.
Yeah, it's the Barefoot documentary. Yeah, not only share your stories on the Barefoot is Legal Facebook page to be on the radio show. We want to have you on the radio show. And we are also doing a TV documentary slated for major network release next year. The website, if you want to be on the TV documentary, is you can submit your information or contact us through that, and that's barefoottvshow.com. And again, go to the Barefoot is Legal page. If you want to be on this radio show, you want to be a guest, or you have a story to tell, please go to the Facebook page, and someone involved with the radio show will see that and make sure we know how to get in touch with you. We'll send you a private message. Or if you know who to private message to get in touch with the radio show, please do that, because we'd love to have you on. And I know we have a lot of callers still holding right now, and we are running out of time. Don't feel discouraged if we don't get to you yet. We have some great guests on the show, Red, Patty, and Nicole's joining us. And
Red was incredible. What a great story. So, I really hope that we follow up with that after the show. Let's do that on, you know, the Barefoot is Legal Facebook page. I want Red to be heard. That was incredible. I listened. It was just incredible. She was a wonderful guest.
I love her story, Red.
Patty, everybody.
So much for sharing. We love your story. And Proof is still here with us, I see. He's hanging
the
in the wings.
Kahuna. He's here.
Big Kahuna, he's hanging in the wings. We're glad to have him on board today with us. And, again, we're here every Saturday for an hour and a half, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's an hour and a half, right? Yeah.
Yes.
1:30
p.m. Yeah,
90 minutes.
Yep, 90 minutes.
Yep. 90 minutes with you to help empower you on your barefoot lifestyle. We are here, so don't be afraid to call in. Again, our call in number, 319-527-6208. I think Proof is back with us right now. I think he's chiming in.
I was.
Hey, Kuna.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. And, well, I just want to make sure we're all doing what we can to maximize our efforts. And, yeah, 25,000 members looks like a lot, but I think we can do it. And my thing is that I just don't want to have people join us and not feel as though they're welcomed in. And I want to do whatever I can to make sure everybody is welcome. And we take people from all walks of life. All that matters is that you're one of us who chooses to not wear shoes while out and about. And whether it's driving, whether it's going into a store, eating in public, or even having to deal with really petty dress rules at certain jobs. And I'm not talking about as a policeman or a doctor or someplace where it's expected, but I'm just saying like an average call center or an office, things like that. Nobody should really care. And it's just sad how places look at what shoes you're wearing as like the most important part of the job. So it's
right.
Part of that as well. And our website, of course, barefootislegal.org. And if you come across any issues, we have a complaint board on file. Nick and our email team, the other Nick, Deutschman, he and the email team will file a complaint and possibly follow it up with a phone call if it's warranted as well. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's great to have professional representation for the group. And the more we get involved and the more we take this seriously, I think the more we're going to do as far as bringing in membership.
I have
definitely,
a question.
Definitely. And it's nice for everybody to know that there's an outlet out there to file a complaint. So take advantage of that.
All right. I heard somebody had a question.
Yes. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just, because this is something that's very important. Is there a way to find out, since I know certain states, certain areas have regulations about what you can and cannot wear indoors, how could I quickly find, okay, in my area where, you know, hey, we can go ahead and you can go ahead barefooted Target or Tops or, I mean, I know I've been some places, but, you know, some people around where I live, they might also want to know this information. How can I tell them?
Well, some of the health department letters are on our website, but we have access to all 50 states in Washington, D.C.
Okay,
there's,
so I just go to the BIL?
From every health department. And you can also go to the local health department's website and look it up yourself. You'll find exactly zero such state laws. But
I've heard of it. I just
want
to double check.
And there are laws out there that protect us for reasons such as civil rights, for religious reasons, also with disabilities, the medical reasons. And there are laws that protect your rights as a barefooter. And I just sent over a file to Dave earlier in the broadcast today, which hopefully we can get up there. It's in a PDF format of the laws of public accommodation. Any business that's open to the public does not have a right to refuse you service because you're barefoot for either religious reason or medical reason. As you know, that goes along with health and your personal choice. So there are laws to protect you, and there businesses, there's really no way to put together a database of all the businesses that are barefoot friendly and all the businesses that are against bare feet. First of all, having a database out there of people that are against bare feet just leads other people to start writing a policy about it. And really, businesses do not have a policy against bare feet. It's pretty much a case-by-case basis when you go to a particular store based on that.
Can I pop in really quick
after
you're done with that?
Of course you can. Yes.
Mm-hmm. For the BIL, the Facebook page, the Barefoot is Legal page, we are running contests, which we just didn't talk about today, but I do want to reiterate that we have contests going on that are kind of fun, and it's not as serious, you know, because some people are new members, get a little freaked out or want to back off because we are serious about the movement. This is a movement. But we do have fun stuff going on the page. We have contests. We have, you know, memories that are really fun and people sharing their great stories. I just want to put a positive note on in the new members listening. We have contests. We have things going on. Pay attention to the polls. If you see something on that's been buried with our admins that are so busy with their regular lives, because we are all volunteers, okay? We donate our time to be a part of the movement, you know? And if you don't see something that you're discouraged about or what have you, just scroll down a little bit. Bump it up. Comment on it. Make it come up back up to the page. You know, I love the contest myself. I think it's been very fun. And it are, right, Dave? Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's important. We have contests going on that are fun that you can totally get involved in. Post your memory, or Dave, you can elaborate on this, but it's important, I think.
We do have a lot of really fun stuff on the website, and I know that, like, I'm on there, and I use the website as kind of a place that I kind of document my son's, like, little journey there, and he's
that's
barefoot
awesome.
In Colorado. I usually all post, you know, barefoot in Colorado, went fishing today, you know. And I use it for a little outlet of his fun things and his great adventures. And I mean, he's like turning into my little Tom Sawyer, and it's been because
that's
of
so awesome, Red. That's so awesome.
Well, we have
Red,
approximately
do you have
60 seconds left of our show. And I just wanted
okay.
I want to thank everyone for coming in. I'm so sorry to cut you off. I didn't mean to.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted Red to plug her blog or website that she's talking about before we ran out of time. Red, if you can plug that real quick.
Yeah.
I'm down to the last 30 seconds. I'm here together.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can
plug it, Red.
Go to I actually do my show here on freedomizer.com Monday nights at 10 p.m. Mountain Time or 9 p.m. Central Time. And you can find me on Facebook at Red Gypsy Journey into Freedom.
Awesome. Thank you, Red. Thank you
very much
for coming
Red.
Down to the last 10 seconds of the show. Thank you to all of our guests.
Thank you for
having
me.
And we're out of time.
That's right. Everybody have a great Barefoot Week.